Good morning or evening from wherever you are, and welcome or welcome back to the Bylines podcast series. Thank you so much for joining us. This is our second episode of the series. Well, last episode, I had a great discussion with Henry and Anna about Chinese New Year, and we had a great interview from Pei. She was a dancer for the festival. And as you've seen in the title, this episode, we're focusing on LGBT plus History Month. And again, we've got some amazing people you'll definitely want to hear from. But firstly, we're just going to introduce the team. So I'm here now with Henry. If you want to introduce yourself, Henry.
Yeah, I'm Henry. We also have Anna, Arisha Jules, and Alex on the team.
Yeah, so small team. Got some great content coming for you, though. So whether or not you're part of the LGBT plus community, there's a lot we should all learn, I think, when it comes to its history. That's where it's all originating from, don't you think, Henry? Like, is there an event that in the history of LGBTQ plus that has most fascinated you that you think you'd like to share? Because I know you know a lot about this topic.
Yeah,
you're passionate.
Yeah, I think there's just like a lot of things in LGBT history that it's really hard to think of one thing. In recent history, I can think of obviously the Stonewall riots, the AIDS blanket as well, which was basically during the AIDS crisis, a gigantic patchwork blanket that represented all the people who had passed away from AIDS up to that point. But also just way farther back, like even a very ancient literature from ancient Greece, for example, like things like male-male love was generally just considered quite normal in these societies, and it was quite romanticized within the literature because it was considered like very masculine and manly to have, you know, to have a boyfriend in those times. Yes.
Yeah. I think now we're just so fortunate to have the resources to know about it.
Yes. What's it called? You might have had to go and buy some bad pulp novels if you lived back in the 50s or 60s, and that was about all you got.
So yeah, that helped with the change. And and I remember you were talking to me about creating spaces for LGBT plus people who are within marginalized communities, within that community in itself. So you did an amazing interview. Do you want to talk more about that?
Yeah, I did an interview with Kayleigh Golding from On Your Gaydar. She's lovely, local Brummy girl. And she was basically talking with me about how really there are a lot of like intersecting issues within the LGBT community. And also how there aren't really many spaces that aren't clubs with like alcohol and stuff. So she wants to kind of do stuff that is also aimed at LGBT women, Black LGBT people, and outside of the context of like gay bars and clubs. She's actually doing a wonderful brunch event next week. So if you're in Brum, probably a good time to think about that.
Basically. So she has a podcast, doesn't she?
Yeah, it's On Your Gaydar, and it's quite readily available. They have it's quite readily available. They're at On Your Gaydar on basically all social media if you do want to follow them.
Yeah, so let's go tune into that interview.
Would you be able to introduce yourself and just what you do and all that?
Yeah, so my name is Kayleigh Golding, and I'm a radio presenter, a DJ, and a radio producer, and I just do like loads of other stuff as well. I also am the founder of the platform On Your Gaydar, which is a podcast and an events platform. And we just do like all sorts of things, to be honest.
Yeah, like I've actually been listening to your more recent episodes, and I really, really liked the recent one about dating somebody who's in the closet, because that's been kind of like my own experience, and like seeing just the kind of complexity of that as well is really important, I think.
Yeah, honestly, like it's something that I feel people don't realize. Like, I don't know, when someone first says, oh, would you date someone in the closet? I feel like everyone's instant reaction is, no, why would I put myself through that, when it's so much more complex than that. So it was nice to be able to talk through that and get different perspectives and kind of just realize, like, it's not the person's fault that they're in the closet. It's not as easy for some people to just come out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, I think as well, coming out can kind of be like a lifelong process as well. Like, you're never just fully out to every single person that you meet, obviously. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Like, it'll just happen eventually. Like, it could be one person your family knows. It could be every single person. It's complicated.
But, no, it is for sure.
Yeah. But what inspired you to start on your Gaydar?
So for me, I feel like there's LGBTQ plus content out there, of course, but there was nothing that really I felt resonated with me as a person. I feel like everything was more towards like white cis gay men, and that's not the gay experience that I have. And it's the same with clubbing across the board. Like, I'm from Birmingham, so I'm very lucky there is a black queer community there. The same with, like, now I live in London, there's one there. But what about if you don't live in these cities, and what happens outside of the clubs? Because I feel like we've got used to, as a community, our community just living in a club and that's it. When we want to be able to watch content that's relatable to us, we want to hear content that's relatable to us, we want to talk through things that happen outside of just going clubbing. So for me, it was important to have a platform that I could kind of talk through these things with people, and the people that I get are just normal people. And that was the most important thing for me. I think sometimes with podcasts, everyone wants celebrities, and On Your Gaydar isn't about celebrities. It's about real life people. If you have something you want to talk on, then just drop us a DM and you can come and talk on the podcast. It's an open platform, and that's something that I love, and that's why I started it.
Yeah. And I think as well with that sort of thing, it's like, we need that, those kind of spaces, because every single thing seems to just be catered towards, well, cis white gay men. So, like, I know, like, there was a lesbian bar in Brum that got kind of changed to be a queer bar. And, like, obviously, I think lesbian bars are important. Queer bars are also important. But also, it's like, I go in there and I see a lot of things that are aimed towards the very kind of narrow view of what it is, of what, like, society thinks it is to be LGBT.
No, exactly. And it means so many different things. Like, if you think about it, if you look at, like, in the straight world, how many straight people there are, people don't just say, okay, all you straight people are the exact same. That's not the case, because there's so many different characters and things within straight people. So why would it be any different for people who just love different people? Like, yeah, we're LGBTQ+, but there's so many different communities. Like, there's so many different communities within that. So for people to just put out one kind of podcast or one kind of gay club, you can't just throw us all into that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we need to have more niche things, things that work for different communities. Because let's be honest, like, if I go into a club that's just playing, like, dance music and commercial music, I'm not going to feel at home. I'm not going to feel comfortable. But then let's say if I go into a straight club that's playing the music that I love, I also won't be comfortable there. So where do I go? Do you know what I mean? And that's why it's important that these spaces are created, and that works online in terms of content as well. It's not just about being out, because what happens, again, for the rest of the week, when we're not clubbing, where do we live then? Where can we find relatable stuff then? And that's what the content
Like,
I put out.
Yeah, like, that's all there is a lot of the time, like, just clubbing, and really it is just clubbing a lot of the time. Clubbing, maybe drag shows, and that's it, really. Especially I've seen recently. Yeah, like, obviously, like, right now it's LGBT History Month. I know, obviously, you're mentioning about, like, Black issues in the LGBT community, and it's Black History Month over in the US. So, like, is there anything, like, about that sort of thing that would be, that has, like, any particular importance to you?
I think, first of all, I think a very important thing to know is that something that I didn't even realise, to be honest, until the Black Lives Matter movement, is how much Black trans women really helped us have our rights at all as gay people. And that was something that I didn't know about. That was history that wasn't taught to me. I had no idea about that until the Black Lives Matter movement. And the whole reason why that kind of got pushed to the forefront was because of white LGBTQ plus people that wasn't supporting the Black Lives Matter movement. Yeah. And it was just like, why aren't you supporting it when without Black trans people, you literally wouldn't have the freedom that you have now? So yeah. It was crazy even to me that I didn't know about that until yeah. the Black Lives Matter movement. Like, it's so mad. But again, it's history that you're not taught. And it's history that I didn't go out looking for. And I wish that I did sooner. But now it's something that I live for. Now that I know that, I'm just like, yeah, everyone should know this. And there's so many LGBTQ plus Black icons that I didn't know about. And that's why now, like, on your Gaydar, like, every month we post different people, and it will just be like, and we do it all year round, like, forget yeah. Black History Month, forget LGBTQ plus History Month. Like, great, it's great that the world does it, but what about all year round? Do you know what yeah. I mean? So we put out this content all year round, and it's where we'll just like highlight someone that's done something that's Black and part of the LGBTQ plus community. And there's so many people within that I just didn't even know about. Again, the Black Lives Matter movement, one of the founders is a queer woman.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But not yeah. everyone knows that. So these are things that need to be celebrated all year round. And I'm so proud that our platform does that.
Yeah. And like, I think as well, there's just that history of solidarity that like we need to acknowledge, and we need to keep with that solidarity rather than being like, oh, these are the things that divide us, rather than these are the things that unite us. Like,
yeah,
I think that's the most important thing. Like as people, we should all just stand solidarity, because again, like you see, like a lot of like white gay people, for example, just being like, oh, the Black Lives Matter movement isn't important. And that movement is important for everybody. You would not have your rights without a lot of Black people. Like, there are loads exactly of Black people in the gay rights movement and in the trans rights movement, in all of these movements. And obviously a lot of LGBT people in Black Lives Matter movement and all of these as well. But yeah, like, so with regards to like On Your Gaydar and stuff, what do you think of your growth over time? Like, I've seen just loads and loads of stuff, especially on your Instagram.
Yeah, like it's grew a nice little fan base and a nice little family. And now it's grew into events.
Yeah.
Because it started with just like being the podcast. But then I was like, I want it to be more than that. I want it to be a whole platform. I want it to be somewhere that people feel like is home. Do you know yeah. what I mean? And that's why we built it up and was like, okay, cool. Let's have more go on than just a podcast. Let's have an event. Let's have a safe place. And the reason why I've done a brunch as well is because yeah. of that's something that's really, really popular amongst like my generation at the moment. But there's not really any LGBTQ plus brunches out there, really. Like, there's drag yeah. brunches. But again, that's kind of, I feel like the drag brunches are actually aimed towards straight women more than gay people, like a ladies' night out, hen do kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Whereas this is like a brunch that is actually for LGBTQ plus people of colour, for you to come and enjoy yourself, like dress nice, have a cocktail, have some food. And again, it's a safe place. It's something that you'd want to do. Like, you'd want to go out to these brunches. You'd want to go to brunches that play Black music. But if you don't feel comfortable, then don't worry. On Your Gaydar's got your back, because there's an event here you can go to. And it's not a big money-making scheme. Like, the last event, I didn't make any money at all. But to me, yeah. it's more important to just have that safe place for people.
Yeah, I think it's really nice just seeing those kind of things. Like, just a lot of, like, recent things. Like, for example, like your upcoming brunch in Brum, things like that. Because obviously there's a lot of LGBT related stuff that just is really, really heavily based on clubbing, alcohol, stuff like that, nighttime events. And a lot of people, obviously, they don't have time for nighttime events. They're not comfortable going out at nighttime events. And they might just feel a lot more comfortable, like a lot more open, easier to talk to people at something like a brunch. So I think
no, exactly. It's all about connecting. Like, in the next one that we're doing, like, we're going to play like interactive games and stuff. Yeah. And it's more just so people can come out of their show and so they can connect with different people. Do you know what I mean? Because the yeah. clubs are great, but you can't really chat in a club. Like, it's no. hard to chat. You have to go to the smoking area. Whereas at a brunch, like, you can chat, like, you can have a little dance, but you can also eat food and chat with people.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to just connect with people on like a more normal way, because obviously you can't hear anybody in a club ever. Like,
yeah,
you can't even
exactly.
hear a club. Just a fun wee question. Like, who is like your top like LGBT icon who you've been thinking about recently?
Ooh, good question.
Yeah.
Lady Phil is absolutely incredible. I just want to make sure. Yeah, Lady Phil. So she is the founder of UK Black Pride.
Yeah.
So that's an event that happens in London every single year. It's on the Sunday of Pride Week in London. And I love that event so much because when I went to normal London Pride, I was like, this is all right. Like
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy it because one, there was just a lot of people. And two, again, it just wasn't, I didn't see me. Like I didn't hear the
Yeah.
music that I love. I didn't feel at home there. But Black Pride is somewhere that I feel at home. It's the music that I love. It's the community
Yeah.
that I'm part of. It's artists that I want to see perform. And for her to realize that so early on that we needed that space, because that's been going for a very long time now,
Yeah.
that I'm so grateful for. And all these other events, like I'm Your Gaydar, like Urban Slag, Wild Out in Birmingham, like Fluid, Lick, like all these events came after. They came after UK Black Pride was created. So I feel like
Yeah.
she really was the start of. We need a place for people that are part of the LGBTQ plus community that are also from the Black community or someone of color.
Yeah.
So it really just paved the way for the rest of us, really.
Yeah, you do need that kind of like more homely space, I guess. I don't know how to describe it. Just a space that like it just feels more like home rather than just feeling like you stand out, feeling like you belong a lot more. I think genuinely those sort of things are just so important, and just having trailblazers, pioneers for that sort of thing is just number one most important thing, I think. Yeah, but yeah, genuinely, I hope it all goes good for you. And yeah,
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, so Henry, thank you so much for that interview. What did you gain from that? Because obviously we all come from different backgrounds. I just find it really interesting how we all take in things and perceive things. And the questions you asked then were just what we needed to know for this podcast.
Yeah, I think it's like really interesting. This is kind of like something that has interested me personally as well. How there's just not really many spaces for LGBT people who aren't white gay men. And like, I actually do like seeing so much work being put towards that nowadays, because it feels like, I guess, LGBT culture has been kind of homogenized into the culture of just white gay men, when it's just so diverse, so intersectional. There's people from all different backgrounds, all different genders, all of that. And it is very important to actually see that and to have that represented within our community.
Definitely. I mean, you've also spoken to some more great people from
Yes.
Hertfordshire Pride. I haven't heard much about that actually, so please go on.
Yeah, so we talked to Clive from Hertfordshire Pride, and he told us a lot about the work that he has done, and a lot of liaison work, a lot of work involving the visibility of the LGBT community, and how it's just really important that smaller local communities have options. Obviously, Hertfordshire is quite close to London, so a lot of the LGBT people in that community will have to travel quite a bit to London in order to feel like they're part of the scene. So he's kind of trying to bring the LGBT scene kind of back home. He also does a lot of liaison work, like anti-discrimination work as well.
Wow. So I just want to hear the interview, to be honest.
Yeah.
Let's get it.
Hello there, listeners of the Byline Network podcast. You might be familiar with my voice. I'm Julian Greenbank, and I'm joined by
Henry Fox, you're probably also quite familiar with mine.
And we are interviewing Clive Duffy of Hearts Pride.
Yeah, hi, so I'm Clive from Hearts Pride, one of the founder directors and also co-founder and trustee of the charity Ask for Clive. And then in addition to that, I do some private advice to the police force in Hertfordshire as their LGBT advisor.
Right. So we're here to talk about event that's been going on all month called LGBT History Month, which I think I've seen two ads. Do you just want to tell us what LGBT History Month is?
Sure. Well, LGBT History Month is there. It's been running for about 10, maybe 15 years now. And I believe the founder originally came from Hitchin in Hertfordshire. Tony Fenwick started the event. But it's themed each year with various themes that are relevant to the LGBT community. And it's about engaging with those that deny or are xenophobes, et cetera, et cetera. But it's there to educate and let people see, and our community see, who we are and what we do and how we're no different to anybody else, really.
Do you think events like LGBT History Month and Pride Month now can raise awareness to the community and to like what people have been through?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about, you know, if you see something a lot, it becomes normalized and we accept it far easier. So it's one of those things that I've always said, you know, I get organizations asking me, how can we make ourselves more LGBT friendly? I said, well, you know, if you're an ally, for instance, then have a little sticker on your desk in the office just to show that you're an ally. It might make somebody feel a little more comfortable to come to you and say that they're LGBT plus. It's about visibility, I think, is quite empowering for those. And you're feeling represented as well. And I think that's probably the better word to use. You feel represented. When you look at our TV programs, our movies now, the amount of openly out LGBTQ actors, actresses, you know, that helps people feel more included. It's like with racially minoritized communities. When they see representation on TV, etc., or in music, then they feel part of the community. They find it easier to come out. Yeah, I think visibility is empowerment. And so Pride Month is a great time. Because it's where communities get together and celebrate and party. And then LGBT History Month, I think it's probably a little bit more formal. That's about sort of making impacts in society as a whole rather than the LGBT community during Pride Month. I think it's empowering when people see people like them being represented through TV, politics, whatever part of our life, because, you know, Trudy Hausen, the LGBT poet laureate, has a great poem saying that we are your brothers, your sisters, your doctors, your police, your this, your that. You know, it just shows you how fully integrated generally we are. And generational difference every 10 years comes along and you think, oh gosh, it's so much easier now for people to do whatever they want. And I call it generational difference, a 10-year period. And I look back and see how things have moved on.
Yeah, like I know as well, you mentioned you do some work like with like doing like advice on LGBT issues with the police, like, and obviously a lot of people in the community have like that kind of historical trauma of relating to like police brutality and stuff, especially when being gay was outlawed. How, like, what do you think is like the importance of that work to kind of work as a liaison in that way?
So I think it's a case of, you know, yes, there were some particular police forces back in the day that really stood out, the Met being one of them, and they still have their issues now, of course. But certainly in Hertfordshire, and I can only speak for Hertfordshire, we've been very lucky that there are forward-thinking, progressive police officers, and in fact, the chief constable, who do genuinely do what they can for our community. They also have their own staff LGBT police network, of which they are, I think in Hertfordshire now has over 100 members. And also they have 85 specially trained LAGLOs, so lesbian and gay police officers, who can be contacted. So if you're in crisis and you want specifically to talk to an LGBT police officer, you can ask for one and they will be made available, which is brilliant. You know, that's a great thing. And in addition to that, I'm consulted when, for instance, if there's been a homophobic attack in Hertfordshire, before they release the press details, they contact me and ask me to just read through that press release just to make sure that they've got everything right and have used maybe the right words, just to double check. So I think that's great. That's, you know, they ask for information and support when they need it. I've provided some training for them recently for the LGBT staff network in HIV awareness and chemsex awareness, which I I don't believe is the norm for many police services, but they want to engage, they want to learn. And so that's a great thing.
And this is like for the entire group, but what aspect of LGBT history do you wish more people knew about?
Okay, if I'm going to start this one off. So I think it's really important for each generation to learn about who has helped us get to where we are now in the UK, where, 50 years ago, where we were at. And I'll do some brutal plugs, I suppose. If you haven't seen the film Pride, I thoroughly recommend that you watch it. It's amazing. In addition to that, there is a film probably on YouTube, or just Google it. It's called Are You Proud? And it's an amazing film. It's a 50-year history of the LGBT community, starting off in protest and celebration, etc. But it mentions, it goes through people like Michael Cashman, who was the first man to have a gay kiss on EastEnders, who is now a lord. There's new stuff. So again, generational difference, knowing where we came from, who got us to where we are now. Sir Ian McKellen, everybody, I think most people hopefully will have an idea who Sir Ian McKellen is. Again, the founder of Stonewall, back in the day. Peter Tatchell, one of the most prolific campaigners in the world, who's traveled the world, been arrested in several countries, beaten up in several countries for sticking up for the LGBT community, who celebrated his 70th birthday a couple of weeks ago. It's that kind of thing. If you're watching on TV, I would say, watch Are You Proud? Watch Pride, watch Paris is Burning. That shows you some great history of where we were at and where we're at now. And as I always believe, with each generation, things get easier and better. There will be stumbles on the way. There are always going to be stumbles on the way. But those of us that have a voice can help represent those that need to be represented.
For me, I come from a very, very rural area. And I think that people in areas like there I'm from, basically I'm from a very, very rural village in Ireland. And LGBT people can come from anywhere. And I think that a lot of people don't seem to realize that. A lot of people seem to think that we spring up fully formed in large cities, if you know what I mean. And I wish people would just talk about just people don't all live in big cities and things like that. And also I think just more education in rural areas as well. Obviously these areas tend to be very old-fashioned a lot of the time. For example, my grandmother is a lesbian. She's been in a same-sex relationship since the early 1980s. A lot of my peers growing up, just they did not understand that, because they've never met a gay person, or they never met an openly gay person. Or if they had met a gay person, their parents had tried to shield them from that. And I think education with things like that, and just these people can come from anywhere. This is completely normal, and that it should be something that's, I guess, known in these communities.
On the topic of history, would you be able to maybe explain a bit about the history of Hearts Pride and what you do?
Yeah, sure. Example? So in 2010, I think it was, Hertfordshire hosted, in association with Hertfordshire University, the first LGBT gay health conference. And from that, through bumping into people and discussing, it was realised that certainly in Hertfordshire at the time, there was a lack of anything for the LGBT community, no full-time venues, particular venues that you can meet up with and socialise. And because we're on the Hertfordshire London border, we're transient. So everybody would travel into London rather than go local. From all the conversations that were having and happening during sort of the downtimes during the conference, lots of people got together and said, look, let's see what we can do in Hertfordshire. From that, the year after, a bunch of us got together and saw, went through the pros and cons of what it was like living in Hertfordshire as part of the LGBT community, and realised, of course, that there was nothing going on at all, very little. And so that's when a small group of us, so myself and Tyson Martin, decided that a Hertfordshire Pride would be possible, but we would have to organise it ourselves with no sort of guaranteed backing or outcome. But we were, in 2013, we put together our first Hearts Pride. For us, I suppose we were quite lucky. I'd formerly, well, at that time, I was working, or had been working, spent 20 years in working in events and hospitality, conference and event production. And so we were able to put it through with my knowledge quite quickly. So the first year we did it, like everything else, everybody jumped on the bandwagon and wanted to be involved, which is fantastic. It meant that we were able to get fully funded and offer the event for free, which we did. So the first event was 2013. It's gone on from strength to strength. Sometimes if we can't get full funding, then we charge £10. When those people say £10, well, I say, well, you're going to see 30 different acts on the stage. Where can you go and see 30 different acts on the stage of great quality for a tenner? So that keeps people quite quiet. but we've developed, and it's gone from strength to strength. Last year, we maxed out in terms of our numbers, our attendance and our license, which was 5,000. The great thing about our pride also is it's known as one of the best family prides and one of the best prides where you can, it still feels like a community rather than protest. And it's a time of celebration for us. Last year, for instance, we had 850 under 18s register to attend. Now that's brilliant. When you see 800 odd young people arriving at 11 o'clock in the morning, an hour early before we open the gates, all there in a queue with their flags, excited, celebrating. It's stunningly brilliant. So it just makes you go cold. It's just lovely. So, and then to see the families, so the gay daddies with their babies and the gay mummies with their babies. And it's just lovely. It's really great.
Yeah, I'd barely be getting out of bed at 11 a.m. when I was 16. So I'm very impressed by their tenacity. Like I can imagine, especially like obviously Hertfordshire, like parts of it like can be like quite like rural, and of course we're so close to like such a big city that like rural isolation and things like that can be such a big issue, especially among the LGBT community. Because obviously a lot of people are just going to London just because everything's in London, and I don't think it's fair, obviously, that like people are just being left out just because of the geographic region that they come from. Like you should be able to get stuff closer to home.
Yeah, absolutely. But in terms of pride, it's been brilliant, but what it also did was gave us a little bit of influence within our county to get things rolling, or to have some influence and to encourage. So it's down to Hearts Pride now that our local council, our county council, fly the Pride flag on certain dates for us, which is great, as do the police, as do the fire service, and as do our two NHS hospitals. None of that kind of thing would have happened before then. And it's given the confidence for some of our LGBT community to step forward and get representatives at work, and with their help, that's how we're able to make that impact now.
Yeah, that's great. That's like something that you wouldn't even see like 5 years ago, I'm going to be honest. Like,
exactly.
Even two, three years ago in a lot of places.
Clive Duffy, thank you very much for joining us and for talking with us and for answering our questions.
Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Can I do a brutal plug?
Of course.
Do Google the Ask Sir Clive charity, which is an inclusion and anti-discrimination charity. You'll see our stickers, hopefully, on around 2,500 venues around the country, which says Ask Sir Clive, everybody is welcome here, on the background of a pride flag. And just Google, click on the BBC News breakfast news video. It'll explain everything within 3 minutes of what we do.
Okay, so firstly, I just want to thank you, Henry, for the interviews you've gathered for this episode, as well as Alex, of course. And thank you, listening, for tuning in. We really hope you enjoyed today's really special segment. and you'll be looking forward to next week. Don't know what themes yet, but you have to wait and find out.
Yeah, and also special thanks to Jules, who did the interview with me, to Clive, and of course to Kaylee. All of our interviewees were great, and it was just wonderful getting to speak to them.
Well, you hear from us very soon. Thank you again. Take care. Happy LGBT plus History Month, everyone.